Every human being seeks purpose. Purpose is the anchor that steadies us in confusion and the compass that directs us through uncertainty. Yet the path to purpose is rarely free from struggle. It is pain that carves depth into our character. It is hardship that forges resilience and clarity. The Stoics understood this truth. They taught that pain is not an obstacle to meaning, but the very condition that reveals it. Marcus Aurelius reflected in his Meditations that the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. This is not poetic exaggeration. It is a principle grounded in life itself. Pain is not simply to be endured. It is to be understood as a teacher. Through disciplined reflection, one can transform pain into purpose. We will move through 10 chapters, each one building on the next, each one offering a framework for living with strength, clarity, and direction. The aim is not abstract theory, but practical wisdom. The goal is to train the mind to respond to pain with discipline, courage, justice, and wisdom, the four cardinal virtues the Stoics held as the foundation of a good life. Let's begin. Chapter 1. The Nature of Pain and the Discipline of Ascent. Pain is unavoidable. It comes through loss, failure, betrayal, illness, and the ordinary challenges of daily life. The Stoics distinguished between external events and the judgments we attach to them. Epictetus taught that it is not events themselves that disturb us, but our opinions about them. Pain is real, but its effect on the soul depends on the mind's response. The discipline of ascent is the practice of directing your inner evaluations with precision. It is the ability to withhold agreement from impulsive judgments and emotions that arise in reaction to external events. When physical pain, emotional distress, or loss occurs, the immediate response is often filled with assumptions. These assumptions influence how the event is perceived. A Stoic pauses before allowing the mind to label the pain as unjust, unbearable, or overwhelming. This pause is deliberate. It creates the space needed to apply reason before emotion solidifies into belief. In this moment of restraint, the Stoic asks essential questions. What has actually happened? What part of this situation do I have authority over? Which conclusions am I forming automatically? These questions clarify the boundary between what exists externally and what is created internally. They also help prevent the layering of unnecessary suffering onto an already difficult situation. Pain that is experienced through the senses does not need to be multiplied by unchecked thought. When judgment is applied without reflection, the event expands beyond its true nature and distorts the experience. Pain does not disappear through Stoic practice, but its impact on the inner life becomes manageable. The disciplined mind does not panic when discomfort arises. It does not rush to condemnation or helplessness. It views the moment as a test of perception. By refusing to automatically agree with emotional conclusions, the Stoic becomes an observer as well as a participant. This role gives access to clarity even when the situation is harsh. The discipline of ascent allows one to carry pain without letting it damage the structure of character. This practice is not reserved for extraordinary crises. It is most effective when trained through ordinary daily struggles. When someone interrupts you, when something breaks, when plans are delayed, each is an opportunity to practice. When discomfort is minor, the stakes are lower and the training becomes accessible. When the mind learns to question automatic responses in small things, it gains strength to do the same when serious trials appear. To develop this practice into a consistent habit, begin with written awareness. At the moment of pain or frustration, pause and record exactly what occurred without adjectives or assumptions. For example, I received no reply to my message. That is the fact. Then list the judgments. They are ignoring me. They don't respect me. I'm being excluded. These are opinions. Compare the two lists. Notice how quickly emotion fills in the blanks with meaning. Often, the discomfort is real, but the lasting suffering is built from imagined narratives. Do this regularly. Let the journal become a record of clarity. Over weeks and months, the entries will reveal patterns. You will see which types of events trigger automatic judgments and which beliefs need correction. The discipline of ascent becomes stronger through this repetition. It teaches that the mind can be trained to observe before it reacts and to think before it concludes. This training becomes the foundation for purpose. Through it, the mind learns to interpret pain with calm attention, not impulse. The space between what happens and how you respond becomes the ground on which purpose is built. In that space lies your freedom. That freedom protects your dignity. That dignity, held through hardship, becomes the proof that pain does not have authority over your soul. Chapter 2. Endurance as a form of strength. The Stoics spoke often of endurance. Seneca wrote that fire tests gold and adversity tests the brave. Pain is the arena where endurance is trained. Without trial, there is no proof of character. Without hardship, there is no demonstration of strength. Endurance is not passive resignation. It is active engagement with difficulty while preserving inner balance. When you endure, you confirm that your mind remains steady even under stress. You continue to act in alignment with your values when the situation becomes difficult. You hold your discipline even when ease is unavailable. You speak and behave according to your principles, even when those actions bring no immediate reward. Endurance is the repeated act of refusing to surrender your standards. Pain becomes the measure that tests how deeply your values are rooted. If they disappear during hardship, they were never stable. If they hold during adversity, they are proven reliable. Endurance also builds structure within your identity. Each experience of hardship leaves a mark. Every trial you face without collapse becomes proof of your resilience. These moments form a detailed record of your strength. When you pause and reflect on what you have carried through, you see a history of persistence. The progress may not always feel visible day by day, but the accumulated effect shapes your sense of self. Endurance is not formed in moments of ease. It is developed when your plans are disrupted, when energy is low, and when continuation feels uncertain. Each time you act in discipline under such conditions, you build evidence that your spirit is anchored. The will to continue grows with each repetition. When pressure arrives, your mind recalls past efforts where you stayed firm. Those memories become support in the present. You do not always need motivation or encouragement from outside sources. The effort itself becomes your teacher. The repetition of choosing action, even when difficult, conditions the mind to trust itself. Endurance is not a reaction, it is a decision. It is a choice to act again when comfort is absent and ease is unlikely. Repeated exposure to difficulty trains the nervous system to remain steady. It sends the message that discomfort does not demand retreat. Fatigue, uncertainty, and setbacks are not signals to abandon your task. They are signals to apply focus. As you practice endurance in daily situations, you build a structure that remains stable under greater weight. Endurance prepares you for heavier burdens by helping you carry smaller ones with care. The daily decision to follow through, to rise early, to complete the task, or to speak with patience when irritated, these are the bricks of inner strength. Each one reinforces the others. When done consistently, they become part of your character. To train this deliberately, begin with controlled challenges. Set a task that creates tension without harm. This might be rising an hour earlier, skipping a comfort that you normally expect, or completing a physical workout beyond your usual limit. Use discomfort as a setting for learning, not punishment. Record your experience. Reflect on what thoughts arose and how you responded. Let each act of discipline sharpen your mind. When you learn to stay steady in controlled adversity, you are better prepared for real adversity. You become familiar with the feeling of resistance and develop a reliable response. Voluntary hardship creates trust between thought and action. It builds the ability to move with purpose, even when conditions are poor. It eliminates the excuse that circumstances must be ideal for effort to occur. As this pattern becomes familiar, your behavior becomes less dependent on feeling motivated and more rooted in consistency. You create a link between clarity and execution. You carry out decisions based on principle, not impulse. This repeated effort creates strength that you can rely on. Strength is not a sudden surge of willpower, but the outcome of accumulated proof. Each time you act with discipline when discomfort is present, you reinforce that you are capable of staying the course. When discomfort loses its power to discourage action, your freedom expands. You begin to see that difficulty no longer prevents motion. The ability to move forward becomes less dependent on emotion and more connected to choice. As this becomes part of your daily pattern, your actions are no longer delayed by hesitation. You begin to move with greater consistency because you are no longer waiting for ideal conditions. You take action because you recognize the task as necessary. Whether you feel rested or tired, whether you feel motivated or neutral, the action still happens. That reliability becomes part of your identity. You know yourself through the actions you repeat. The ability to endure becomes familiar. You stop questioning whether you are capable. You begin to operate from a baseline of expectation that includes difficulty. Confidence becomes rooted in evidence. The memory of each completed challenge supports the next one. The more consistently you train this way, the more stable you become. You start to notice that you require less negotiation with yourself to begin. You are less reactive when discomfort appears, because it is no longer a threat. Each act of follow-through becomes reinforcement. Each time you continue despite obstacles, you expand your sense of what is possible. That expansion is gradual, but it is reliable. With every step forward, you confirm what you can handle. Every decision you make under pressure becomes part of a broader pattern. That pattern reveals your direction. It forms your structure. The strength you build this way is not loud. It is quiet, but it is constant. It is seen in the way you meet responsibility without complaint. It is seen in your ability to hold your focus when distractions press in. Endurance becomes a presence in your life. It supports your work, your thoughts, and your interactions. It is part of the posture you carry. This posture is shaped by repetition. It is formed when you act with clarity in difficult conditions. It is maintained by simple actions, finishing what you begin, keeping your word, rising early, training the body, managing your time, speaking carefully, and working without waiting for praise. These small efforts repeat. Each one contributes to a larger whole. Each one says, "I will continue." Each one becomes a silent marker of progress. Endurance does not demand attention. It is not a pursuit that calls for recognition. It is built in the quiet repetition of action. It is developed each time you complete a task under stress. Return to your work while carrying discomfort, or act with integrity when it would be easier to delay. This repetition is where strength takes root. With each cycle, the action becomes easier to initiate. The hesitation that once blocked movement becomes less influential. What was once difficult becomes expected. When this process is maintained, you begin to notice that pain no longer creates confusion in your path. It is present, but it does not lead your decisions. You continue the work even when the conditions feel heavy. You do not pause to measure your mood or seek reassurance. You begin. You follow the task. You remain. This movement is steady, It is unshaken by shifts in comfort or ease. That steadiness anchors your direction. Purpose forms through the repetition of disciplined acts performed regardless of how you feel. You do not wait for the right moment. You do not stop to explain your effort. You know what needs to be done. You return to it. Each return reinforces your structure. Each repetition confirms your path. You do not let temporary pain become the reason to step away. You recognize that strength is not created by waiting. It is built by returning to the work again and again. You need practice, not promises. You need presence, not performance. You need to meet the task without delay. This approach builds self-trust. Each completed cycle of effort reminds you that you are capable. When pain visits again, the response is already prepared. You do not avoid. You do not collapse. You carry the weight. That quiet motion carries meaning. That movement becomes your posture. When this becomes a way of living, even difficulty cannot stop your direction. You are not seeking ease. You are building capacity. You do not rely on approval. You rely on consistency. Strength is confirmed in repetition. Purpose is revealed in persistence. You keep going because that is who you are becoming. Chapter 3. Finding direction in suffering. Pain, though unwanted, points to meaning. When you lose what you value, you learn what is truly important. When you are tested, you see the areas where growth is needed. Pain strips away illusions. It forces attention on what endures and what is fleeting. This is why the Stoics viewed suffering not as curse, but as guide. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself to look at things plainly. He aimed to see events without exaggeration or emotional confusion. Pain, in this view, is not just a burden, but a signal. It is a form of information. It draws attention to what must be examined. Each moment of suffering asks a question. It forces the mind to stop and consider what virtue is being tested. Is this a call for patience with delay or discomfort? Is it a moment that demands courage in the face of fear or uncertainty? Is it a challenge to discipline when habits are under threat? These questions do not arise in comfort. They surface through pain. When taken seriously, they guide the mind toward action rooted in principle. Suffering can become direction. When treated as something to observe rather than resist, it points to what must be strengthened. The Stoics did not view hardship as random or meaningless. They believed it could be used to understand what the soul is lacking or avoiding. Pain helps sort what matters. It cuts away distractions. What is temporary falls away. What is necessary remains. This shift allows the mind to focus. Instead of wandering in self-pity or confusion, it returns to what is within reach: clarity, intention, and virtue. Pain reveals attachments. When something causes sharp distress, that response highlights where dependence has grown unchecked. If you suffer deeply from delay, comfort may have become a demand rather than a preference. If criticism causes deep frustration, your identity may be too entangled with reputation. By identifying what causes the greatest disturbance, you uncover what is dominating your mental state. This is not a weakness to hide, but a signal to study. Suffering shows what you have given control to. It reveals what must be examined, adjusted, or removed. Through this kind of attention, you begin to see suffering as a mirror. It reflects back the structure of your values and beliefs. It shows how you have been thinking, where you have placed meaning, and whether that meaning is stable. Often, the deepest suffering comes when expectations do not match reality. By studying the gap between what you hoped for and what occurred, you begin to see which expectations are worth keeping and which must be corrected. This correction brings freedom. The mind is no longer ruled by false assumptions. It begins to see things as they are. To apply this framework in practice, develop the habit of questioning discomfort. Do not let it pass without inspection. When something hurts, physically, emotionally, or mentally, stop and ask three direct questions. What virtue must I practice here? What desire or fear is making this more painful? What useful lesson can be taken from this moment? Write down your answers. Do not rush the process. The written reflection clarifies thought and slows reactive emotion. Over time, these pages will become a record of growth. They will show how pain has been converted into clarity. Let these reflections shape your behavior. Use them to decide how you will act when the same kind of suffering appears again. If criticism exposed insecurity, prepare how you will handle similar words in the future. If rejection revealed fear of abandonment, begin to untangle your identity from others' approval. If loss made you collapse, reflect on where you had placed permanence in what was always uncertain. This practice turns each painful event into a moment of study. The journal becomes a tool for developing a philosophy that is lived, not spoken. Through this disciplined engagement with pain, you begin to see that purpose is revealed through hardship. Purpose is not a vague idea. It is a set of values tested by pressure. Each time you hold to those values under stress, you strengthen them. Each time you fail and then reflect, you adjust them. Each entry you write becomes part of your personal framework. Each question you answer adds precision to how you see yourself and your role in the world. Purpose does not come in a single realization. It is formed gradually through consistent examination of experience. Each moment of suffering presents a chance to understand something deeper about your mind, your values, and your attachments. When you reflect on these moments honestly, you begin to recognize patterns in your behavior. You notice how certain responses return under pressure. These patterns are your teachers. They show you where your attention needs to be placed. Action completes the process. Insight gained through reflection must lead to a deliberate change in conduct. A realization left untested fades quickly. When you apply what you've learned by altering how you respond in future challenges, the insight becomes part of your character. You are no longer reacting by instinct alone. You are selecting your response based on principle. That selection is difficult in pain, but it is through that difficulty that your principles are made real. Correction follows action. Even with sincere effort, you will make mistakes. The role of suffering is to highlight where the execution did not match the intention. That correction does not mean failure, it is refinement. Each misstep is an opportunity to ask again, was I honest with myself? Was I clear in my values? Did I act from integrity or from fear? These questions lead to improvement. They are essential to growth. Suffering forces a choice. You can escape into distraction, or you can stay present and examine the discomfort. When you stay, you see that pain strips away false priorities. It does not allow you to hide from yourself. It pushes you to simplify. It shows what can be removed and what must be kept. This removal is not easy, but it makes space for something stronger. What remains after the unnecessary is stripped away is what you must now commit to. This is where purpose begins to solidify. To use pain effectively, treat it like a conversation. It is not random. It arrives with a reason, even if that reason is not clear at first. Listen carefully. What is being challenged? What is being exposed? What needs strengthening? These are not theoretical questions. They are practical tools for guiding your next action. If the pain is personal, consider what boundary was crossed. If it is professional, consider what standard was not upheld. If it is emotional, ask what hope or fear was unmet. These answers lead directly to choices about how to live. Let pain speak. Do not speak over it. Do not rush past it. Listen, record, interpret, and act. Allow the discomfort to shape your decisions, not as a burden, but as instruction. Each insight gained is only valuable if it becomes behavior. The answers you form must influence what you do, what you say, what you allow, and what you refuse. This is how principles are formed. They are tested under stress, and they are kept alive through application. Let your actions reflect the answers you discover. Let them carry the weight of thought. Do not abandon them when new pain arises. Let them stabilize you. In time, they become habits. Habits become structure. Structure becomes identity. And that identity becomes purpose. The path becomes clearer the more you walk it. It is not found by searching endlessly. It is built with each decision to endure, reflect, correct, and move forward with intention. Purpose is shaped by repetition under pressure. It emerges through repeated contact with difficulty and the choices made in response. Each time you act in alignment with your principles during pain, you contribute to the development of your purpose. These moments form the structure of a life guided by direction rather than reaction. The more you return to principle in discomfort, the more durable your purpose becomes. Consistent action under stress gives purpose a foundation. When effort is maintained without the support of ease, it shows that your values are not based on convenience. When you work, speak, or endure in a way that reflects your beliefs, those beliefs deepen. They are reinforced by use. Purpose does not come from declaring what matters to you. It comes from living what matters in small, repeated acts that carry personal cost. Pain is the testing ground. It sharpens judgment, reveals weak spots, and clarifies priorities. In the presence of difficulty, vague ideals are either strengthened or abandoned. When you act with steadiness during these moments, your behavior becomes instruction. It tells the mind what to believe and the body how to respond. Each decision to remain committed under strain adds weight to your identity. That identity is not made through imagination. It is made through repetition. Let your principles do the shaping. Let them set the standard for thought, speech, and behavior. Let your decisions be filtered through what you know to be right, even when it costs you comfort or approval. Let your behavior confirm those principles again and again. Do not speak of your values without acting on them. Let them become visible through consistency. Let your pain serve as the tool that sharpens your discipline. Let it reduce what is unnecessary. Let it strip away what is weak. Let it reveal what you must strengthen. Use it to increase clarity in your direction. Use it to train your character. In that process, you are not simply surviving adversity. You are becoming someone equipped to live with clear purpose. In that process, you will not only understand purpose, you will embody it. You will move through difficulty without confusion. You will act with direction because you have practiced direction. You will carry hardship without collapse because you have rehearsed integrity. Purpose, then, is no longer an idea. It is a part of your character. It is confirmed by your behavior under pressure. It is revealed by how you live when comfort is gone and pain remains. That is when the truth of purpose becomes visible. Chapter 4: The Power of Voluntary Hardship. Voluntary hardship is a deliberate practice. It is the choice to expose yourself to discomfort with the goal of sharpening your mind and character. This idea was central to Stoic training. Epictetus advised his students to prepare for hardship rather than wait for it. By choosing to engage in difficulty, you remove the element of surprise and replace it with structure. When hardship comes unexpectedly, you are already familiar with the shape of resistance. This kind of preparation builds confidence. You do not need to wonder how you will respond under pressure if you have already practiced it in smaller settings. Voluntary hardship teaches the body and mind to function under discomfort. It builds a tolerance for pain that is not reckless but intentional. It creates a clear boundary between what is unpleasant and what is unmanageable. When you fast, train, rise early, speak plainly, or deny yourself excess, you create internal order. These actions remind the body that it serves the mind, not the other way around. Practicing voluntary hardship builds a mental framework that can withstand external instability. In situations of crisis, loss, rejection, or physical pain, the trained mind knows how to hold itself together. The instinct to escape is replaced with the habit of staying grounded. The ability to endure is not a mystery. It is a function of how often you've trained for it. When you repeatedly put yourself through conditions that test your limits, your tolerance grows. With tolerance comes clarity. With clarity comes calm. This training is not glamorous. It is built through repetition. The cold shower, the strict schedule, the refrained word, the limited indulgence, each one seems small, but when practiced regularly, they accumulate. They sharpen the will. They teach restraint. They eliminate the illusion that you need constant comfort to function. This elimination creates space for purpose. Purpose does not require perfect conditions. It requires structure, focus, and the willingness to carry your principles through difficulty. To apply voluntary hardship in your own life, start small. Identify where comfort has become default. Interrupt it. Wake earlier than you want. Delay a meal. Say no to something convenient. Do something difficult that offers no immediate reward. Then record how you responded. What thoughts appeared? Where did resistance arise? How did you move through it? These notes form your training log. They show your progress. They help you measure strength beyond emotion. Voluntary hardship is not punishment. It is discipline in its most direct form. Through it, you learn to stand firm while others collapse. You learn to see pain as a signal, not an excuse. You learn to find purpose in action, even when comfort is absent. Chapter 5. Discomfort as a path to clarity. Comfort can become a blinding force. It can mask weakness, dull awareness, and create dependency. The Stoics believed that clarity of thought comes from friction. Discomfort strips away illusion. When the body or the ego is unsettled, the truth becomes easier to detect. You are forced to see things as they are, without decoration. Discomfort forces honesty. It reveals which habits are stable and which are dependent on convenience. When things are easy, you may believe you are disciplined. When discomfort increases, that belief is tested. You learn whether your habits are anchored in principle or in ease. This is useful information. You no longer guess what you're capable of. You know. The knowledge that comes from discomfort is not theoretical. It is confirmed through direct experience. Clarity increases when you reduce distraction. Discomfort does this naturally. When you remove what numbs you, excess entertainment, overindulgence, unnecessary consumption, you are left with your thoughts. At first, this may feel like loss, but it is space. That space makes room for examination. What are you pursuing? What are you avoiding? What are you willing to face? These questions are not answered through comfort. They are revealed through restraint. Physical discomfort is a reliable tool. Training, fasting, walking, exposure to nature, and cold all produce a clean form of pain. It is present, measurable, and temporary. It allows the mind to observe its own patterns. Do you react with anger, fear, or excuses? Do you begin to negotiate with your standards? Do you retreat from what you said you would do? These responses are not failures. They are reflections. Use them. The aim is not to live in constant deprivation. The goal is to increase awareness and reduce distortion. Discomfort is a method to return to what is essential. It removes layers. It simplifies. It brings the voice of reason forward. This voice is easily drowned in comfort. It becomes clearer when distractions are reduced. What remains is direction. What remains is intention. What remains is clarity. To build this practice, create a weekly rhythm of restraint. Limit something that feels automatic. Observe the internal resistance. Document it. Reflect on how quickly the mind seeks ease. Practice sitting with that resistance. Allow it to sharpen your focus. In that sharpening, you will find a better view of yourself. In that view, you will see what needs to change, what must be kept, and what you are capable of. Discomfort becomes more than a test, it becomes a mirror. Chapter 6. Facing loss with reason. Loss exposes what we value most. It reveals the attachments we hold, the expectations we carry, and the illusions we may have built around permanence. The Stoics did not deny the pain of loss. They acknowledged it, studied it, and used it to reinforce the discipline of reason. When something is taken, whether a relationship, a possession, or an opportunity, the mind is given a rare opportunity to see how much of itself was tied to what could be lost. Epictetus reminded his students to reflect on the nature of what they love, always recognizing its mortality. This practice was meant to prepare the mind, not remove joy. If you care for someone, acknowledge their humanity and the reality that they can change, leave, or be lost. If you value an object, remember that it can break, be taken, or deteriorate. This recognition disciplines the mind to remain stable when change occurs. It trains you to carry appreciation without dependency. Nothing is made permanent by your attachment to it. Thinking otherwise creates unnecessary vulnerability. This approach to love and possession is not rejection. It is alignment with reality. To acknowledge mortality is to see clearly. When you accept the nature of what you hold dear, you become less shaken when it leaves. You may still feel sadness, but you are not thrown into collapse. This awareness sharpens appreciation. You value people and things with full awareness of their impermanence. Each moment becomes enough, and expectations remain within the limits of nature. Reason allows you to face loss with clarity. Pain still appears, but confusion is reduced. The mind does not build false narratives. It examines facts. It separates what is within your control from what is external. Reason prevents panic. It keeps thought aligned with truth. You do not lose the ability to grieve. You gain the ability to grieve without disorder. When a loss occurs, you apply clear questions. What was this thing to me? Was I acting as though it would never change? What foundation must I now reinforce within myself? The Stoics believed that reason could shape suffering into insight. It does not erase the reality of pain. It reduces its reach. Grief becomes part of reflection, not the whole of your identity. When the mind is directed toward purpose, loss does not stop progress. It changes the form of the work. The work becomes internal. It becomes a deeper practice of character. The moment of absence becomes a moment of testing. That testing reveals the durability of your principles. Reflection makes this possible. It is not enough to think briefly and move on. The Stoics encouraged written examination. When something is lost, write what happened. Describe its role in your life. Explore the depth of your attachment. Acknowledge your reaction. Then ask, what remains within me? What can be strengthened now? This practice creates emotional distance without avoidance. It transforms the event into instruction. It reminds you that loss is part of nature. It is expected, not exceptional. The process of recovery is not fast. It requires attention and repetition. At each stage, you must ask what virtue applies. If the loss invites regret, respond with truthfulness. If it brings anger, respond with restraint. If it creates fear, respond with presence. Each emotion can be answered with action. Each feeling can be studied, slowed, and understood. This is how Stoicism creates space for healing without dependency on external repair. You remain capable after loss. The function of reason is to remind you of this. Even in grief, the capacity to think, choose, and act remains. The identity you carry is not broken by the event. It is revealed by how you respond. What you do in the shadow of loss becomes part of your discipline. It is a continuation of the Stoic path. It is where principles are tested and where they can be strengthened. You are not your loss. You are the one who observes, responds, and rebuilds. This distinction is essential. The loss may affect you deeply, but it does not change your nature. Your ability to reason, reflect, and choose remains intact. This identity is stable because it is grounded in principle, not external circumstance. Reason gives shape to your thoughts. Clarity gives structure to your recovery. These two disciplines work together to protect the core of your character when external things are taken away. When pain arrives, the process must begin with questions that re-establish control. What is within my control? What is outside of it? What virtue does this situation require? What facts must I accept without distortion? What is the next action that brings alignment with my principles? These are not abstract questions. They are tools for navigation. They create structure where emotion would otherwise spread without direction. When followed consistently, they become habits. These habits become protection during grief. Training in this approach does not remove the reality of pain. It does prepare the mind to remain steady when that pain appears. Each instance of loss becomes another opportunity to apply the structure. You return to your questions. You review your values. You act according to what remains stable. In doing so, you shift from being overwhelmed to being anchored. This anchoring is not the result of denial. It is the result of clarity. Loss will return in different forms. It may involve people, health, reputation, possessions, or goals. None of these are permanent. The mind must be trained to expect this. When that expectation is established, the event no longer arrives as a shock. It arrives as a signal. The signal reminds you to return to your internal resources. These are the only things that remain fully yours. Judgment, reason, discipline, and choice. These cannot be taken unless surrendered. What matters most is the response. That response is built before the loss occurs. You build it by practicing voluntary discomfort. You build it by keeping your commitments. You build it by reflecting daily on what is truly yours. Then, when the moment comes, the structure is ready. You do not need to invent strength. You rely on what has already been tested. The pain is present, but the panic is absent. Your action proceeds from training, not emotion. Deliberate reflection transforms each loss into a lesson. It gives shape to what would otherwise remain as pain without insight. You ask what the event revealed about your attachments, what you depended on without realizing, what expectations were built into relationships or outcomes, and where your sense of self became entangled with something you could not control. This reflection helps you see how deeply those attachments shaped your decisions and identity. It allows you to assess whether the source of the pain was the loss itself or your unexamined beliefs about its permanence. You also ask what habits were exposed by the loss. Did you rely on routines that were built around comfort? Did your emotional state depend on external affirmation, outcomes, or roles? These patterns come into view more clearly when they are disrupted. You see what held your focus, what shaped your reactions, and where your resilience was lacking. These insights offer a direct opportunity for correction and refinement. Next, you ask what standards you can now reinforce. You may have neglected principles such as patience, humility, or self-control in the presence of what you had. The loss reminds you to realign. It helps you prioritize again. You clarify what values are worth holding when everything else shifts. This brings direction. You are no longer stuck in the emotional weight of absence. You move forward with deliberate focus on what can be carried into your next decision. The loss becomes part of your learning. It influences your framework, not your identity. Action follows reflection, because insight alone does not change behavior. If you stop with recognition but do not move, the patterns remain. The moment you apply what you have learned, the shift begins. You recommit to your principles. You review where your behavior drifted from your values and take steps to bring it back. You repair what has been ignored. You create new routines that reflect your current understanding. These actions build strength. They replace emotional noise with structure. Each choice you make after a loss contributes to recovery. The choice to maintain your discipline, to complete a daily task, or to speak clearly, even in grief. These actions all become part of your rebuilding. They show that your strength is not theoretical. It is tested, proven, and applied. This momentum prevents you from becoming passive. You are not frozen by the past. You are moving, adapting, and continuing with intention. Acceptance is the point where resistance ends and responsibility begins. It is not passive. It is an active commitment to live with reality as it is. You do not chase alternatives. You stop bargaining with what cannot be undone. You stop expecting outcomes to reverse. Instead, you return to what is present. You work with it. You choose to shape it. You allow the grief to exist without allowing it to control your direction. You stand with the absence, and still you act. This approach gives recovery a structure. You are not waiting to feel better. You are working to build clarity and strength through deliberate effort. You affirm what you can still do. You stay aligned with what is true. Each repeated action reinforces that clarity. Each consistent step builds the habit of direction. You confirm your ability to hold your character, even when emotion is heavy. This is how the Stoic faces loss, with precise thought, with organized behavior, and with purpose that adapts to hardship without collapsing under it. Loss becomes a chapter in the book of your training. It is painful, but it is useful. It refines your approach. It tests your control. It strengthens your principles. What remains after grief is not simply survival. It is a more structured self, committed to living with discipline, even when much has been taken. Chapter 7. Mastering Reaction Through Stillness. The Stoics placed great emphasis on mastering one's reactions. They observed that external events may strike with force, but it is the internal reaction that determines whether those events cause disturbance or peace. When pain, conflict, or disappointment occurs, the untrained mind rushes to respond. This response is often emotional, automatic, and unexamined. The trained mind does not rush, it remains still. Stillness is the gap between stimulus and response. It is not the absence of thought, but the control of it. The Stoic does not ignore what happens. They see it clearly, but they delay judgment. This delay creates space. That space allows reason to lead. When reason is present, reaction becomes aligned with virtue, not emotion. Stillness requires training. It is built by practicing restraint. When provoked, the first instinct may be to retaliate. When frightened, the first urge may be to retreat. Stillness interrupts these patterns. It asks the question, what would a rational response look like right now? It shifts attention from impulse to principle. It trains the mind to pause before movement. This practice strengthens decision-making. In stillness, you do not abandon action. You choose it more carefully. You no longer speak because you are uncomfortable with silence. You no longer act because you feel urgency. You act because you have weighed the situation and found the proper path. This habit leads to clearer results. It prevents the confusion that follows from acting without reflection. To cultivate stillness, Practice holding your response for a few seconds in moments of difficulty. When discomfort appears, pause. When you are insulted, pause. When plans are disrupted, pause. Use that pause to recall your principles. Ask, is this worthy of my energy? Does this demand a reply, or does it demand restraint? This small habit, repeated across situations, trains the mind to be still in more serious moments. Stillness does not remove pain. It removes confusion. It makes space for clarity to speak. It keeps your behavior grounded when emotion rises. It builds the kind of presence that does not need to defend itself with noise. This is how the Stoic begins to master reaction, not through suppression, but through deliberate, trained silence. In this silence, wisdom grows. Chapter 8. Pain as a signal for virtue. Pain is a signal. It demands attention. It pulls the mind into the present and forces a response. The Stoics believed that pain is not simply something to endure, but something to examine. In every discomfort, there is an invitation to apply a virtue. This framing transforms pain from something passive into something purposeful. When you encounter pain, ask, what is being tested? If your routine is disrupted, is patience being called for? If your efforts are ignored, is humility required? If your plans collapse, is resilience needed? These are not abstract exercises. They are direct paths to application. Pain becomes a mirror that reflects which inner quality must be activated. This mindset shifts your relationship with difficulty. You stop asking why something is happening and begin asking what virtue the moment requires. This question reorients the mind. It brings your attention back to what you can do. It stops the search for blame and replaces it with the pursuit of strength. The pain remains, but it becomes integrated into your practice. The Stoics trained for this by making a habit of identifying the relevant virtue in each situation. If the body ached, they practiced endurance. If someone insulted them, they practiced self-restraint. If their fortune turned, they practiced acceptance. These responses were developed through awareness and repetition. Pain was no longer a signal to retreat. It was a signal to engage. To apply this method, begin by naming the discomfort clearly. Do not exaggerate it. Do not minimize it. Then identify the virtue most suited to meet it. Write it down. Reflect on whether you are practicing that virtue or avoiding it. Then act in alignment with it. The act does not need to be dramatic. A single step taken with intention is enough to confirm the direction. Pain will continue to appear. This cannot be controlled. What can be controlled is how consistently you respond with clarity and virtue. With practice, each discomfort becomes another opportunity to deepen your character. You begin to see hardship not only as something to survive, but as a challenge to act rightly. This shift creates dignity. It brings structure to difficulty. It transforms pain into purpose. Chapter 9. The virtue of choosing the harder path. The Stoics taught that the harder path is often the path of growth. It demands more from you, but it also returns more in the form of strength, character, and understanding. Pain is a feature of this path. It tests the level of your discipline and the clarity of your purpose. The easier path avoids resistance, but it also avoids transformation. Choosing the harder path does not mean seeking pain for its own sake. It means choosing the option that aligns most closely with your principles, even when it requires sacrifice. This may involve staying silent when provoked, continuing work when discouraged, or acting with courage in the presence of fear. The value is not in the pain itself, but in the virtue expressed through the act. The harder path reveals what you are capable of. It provides evidence through action. Each time you choose effort over ease, you remind yourself that short-term comfort does not govern your life. This is not a denial of comfort. It is a refusal to let it lead. You confirm that your values shape your actions. You do not need to feel ready. You need to remain committed. Choosing the difficult route when the easier one is available builds self-respect. You show yourself that you are not guided by convenience, but by principle. This consistency builds inner structure. It creates a foundation of discipline that does not depend on emotion. The more often you take the harder path, the more familiar it becomes. You begin to act from a place of clarity rather than impulse. You observe discomfort without reacting to it. This habit increases stability. When discomfort returns in different forms, you recognize the pattern and continue forward with awareness. Each step into discomfort strengthens your ability to remain grounded. You are no longer thrown off course by tension or delay. You are conditioned to work under pressure and stay aligned under fatigue. These moments become part of your training. They teach you to maintain direction in a changing environment. The hard path becomes a tool for shaping identity. It reveals the seriousness of your convictions. It strips away the optional and confirms the necessary. The Stoics believed that strength was built through continuous interaction with resistance. They viewed adversity as a means to practice what they believed. Each decision that involved difficulty served a purpose. The soul was trained not in calm moments, but in moments that asked for perseverance. Each test revealed whether principle was fixed or flexible. Avoiding these tests left character undeveloped. Facing them gave strength to action. Choosing the harder path is a daily exercise. It exists in small, repeatable decisions. You may be tempted to skip your routine, to speak without care, to quit early, or to avoid necessary correction. These are the moments where growth happens. When you recognize the fork in the road and choose the route that protects your values, you confirm your discipline. You begin to live as the person you say you want to be. These repeated choices create a life with direction. The harder path is not dramatic. It is often quiet and unnoticed. You begin the task before comfort arrives. You return to your structure even when results are slow. You correct your course when you fall short, without seeking praise. This repetition reinforces your purpose. It gives shape to your days. It creates momentum. It aligns your identity with your actions. By doing this consistently, pain becomes part of your development. Discomfort is no longer treated as something to escape. It is used to strengthen resolve. It becomes part of the environment in which your character is tested and confirmed. You begin to notice that the moments you once avoided are now opportunities. They allow you to demonstrate strength. They allow you to practice restraint. They allow you to prove consistency. The harder path clarifies your priorities. It shows what you are willing to suffer for. It removes distractions. It focuses your effort. The test of your commitment is not how you act when motivated, but how you act when everything is difficult. In those moments, the gap between words and behavior becomes visible. Choosing difficulty when ease is available proves that your principles are real. Each time you choose that path, you refine who you are. You simplify your direction. You rely less on outside encouragement and more on inner clarity. You become someone who can carry pressure without collapsing. This makes your purpose stable. It does not shift based on feeling or outcome. It remains steady because it is built in discipline. Chapter 10. Purpose is proven in repetition. Purpose is not declared, it is demonstrated. The Stoics taught that purpose is revealed in action, repeated under pressure. One decision may show intention, 10 decisions show direction, 1,000 show identity. When you live with consistency in the face of adversity, you are no longer trying to become something, you are being it. Repetition is the structure that shapes character. You choose the same principles each day, regardless of circumstance. You apply the same effort even when results do not appear. You speak the truth, maintain discipline, and uphold your values without being pushed by emotion or pulled by convenience. This cycle reinforces integrity. It makes the path clearer by removing the need for constant re-evaluation. Disruption will still come. Pain, frustration, fatigue, and resistance remain a part of life. These forces are not eliminated through training, but they are met with a different posture. As your relationship to them shifts, you no longer view each struggle as an isolated interruption. You begin to recognize a single path running through all forms of discomfort. What once felt random now fits into a larger structure. Pain becomes familiar. It no longer catches you off guard. It becomes something you prepare for, something you expect, and something you use. This familiarity with pain is not passive. It trains the mind to operate under pressure without breaking rhythm. Each repetition strengthens the process. You know what step to take next, because the path has already been walked. You act with structure. You apply your system. You return to the plan you built. The disruption loses its power to derail. It becomes part of the environment you operate in. Your consistency remains intact because it is no longer dependent on feeling ideal conditions. Purpose becomes part of your posture. It is built into how you carry yourself, how you act when no one watches, and how you respond when support is absent. It becomes evident in silence, in fatigue, and in frustration. You do not explain it. You live it. The repeated application of discipline under pressure shapes that identity. You confirm what matters most, not by speaking of your values, but by demonstrating them. The habits you maintain during hardship are the proof of your alignment. Every act of courage while afraid strengthens that identity. Every moment of restraint when provoked protects it. Each repetition adds weight. These decisions are not displays, they are confirmations. You return to your values when it would be easier to abandon them. You speak clearly when confusion invites retreat. You continue working when no result is guaranteed. These actions build a self that cannot be shaken by a single failure or delay. To live with purpose through pain is to return to the same core values in every condition. You keep your standards whether you're seen or unseen. You preserve your integrity even when it brings no advantage. You move forward even when the reward is distant or uncertain. You act with intention rather than waiting for ideal emotions. This is the foundation of Stoic practice. This is the daily test of strength. You live your purpose by building habits that function in every environment. You reduce dependency on how you feel and increase reliability in how you act. You begin to recognize that purpose is not formed by rare moments of inspiration. It is formed through consistency. It is formed by how you start the day, how you return to your responsibilities, how you stay steady in challenge, and how you recover from failure. These repetitions build trust with yourself. In the end, purpose is not found, it is forged. It takes shape through repeated effort, built through the steady work of disciplined action. You form it through the tasks you complete when motivation is absent, through the words you hold back when emotions rise, and through the plans you follow when no reward is promised. Purpose begins to emerge as a pattern in your behavior. That pattern becomes structure. That structure holds you steady when pressure increases. It emerges from what you do repeatedly. Your decisions build direction. Your actions confirm who you are. Each choice you make under difficulty contributes to the development of your character. The more consistently you follow your principles, the more clearly you understand your role and responsibilities. You stop measuring your life by ease. You begin measuring it by whether or not your actions match your values. In that alignment, purpose becomes visible. It is shaped by how you treat difficulty and how you continue after discomfort. The setbacks that once felt disruptive are absorbed into your routine. You still feel them, but they no longer dictate your behavior. You continue your work. You keep your tone steady. You make decisions that reflect thought instead of reaction. This response is not automatic. It is trained. The training happens in every repetition, where you choose structure over impulse. The pain that once seemed meaningless becomes part of a pattern. You begin to recognize the role it plays. It draws your attention to areas that need work. It forces you to slow down and reflect. It sharpens your awareness. That awareness becomes precision. That precision becomes part of your decision-making. Through this cycle, pain is no longer just pressure. It becomes information. You use that information to adjust your path without losing your direction. That pattern reflects discipline. It shows that you are not controlled by mood. It shows that your behavior is based on standards. You speak carefully, follow through, and maintain effort without needing constant motivation. These repetitions do not attract attention. They build reliability. They allow others to trust you. More importantly, they allow you to trust yourself. That trust reinforces the foundation you act from. It reflects structure. You no longer rely on scattered intention. You build habits and follow them. You create a system that supports clarity and action. When pain arises, you do not abandon the structure. You lean into it. The structure does not remove discomfort, but it gives you a way to move through it. It gives you a place to begin when everything else is unclear. That beginning leads to the next step, and the next step leads to stability. It reflects practice. What you repeat becomes what you rely on. What you rely on becomes part of your identity. This is how purpose is formed, through quiet application, steady correction, and continuous attention to what matters most. These are the conditions that produce a reliable foundation. That foundation allows you to carry pressure without breaking. The results of that practice are not loud. They are seen in how you stay steady under pressure, how you work without recognition, and how you continue when ease is unavailable. This kind of strength is not easily noticed, but it is durable. It becomes the part of you that does not shift in difficulty. It becomes the part of you that others can depend on. It becomes something no loss can erase. It becomes your legacy. That is the reality of purpose through pain. It is not granted. It is built step by step, action by action. It is the product of thousands of decisions made under pressure and held with intention. It is the outcome of repetition that no one sees. It is a path made clear by the standards you return to each day. That path, built through steady choices and guided by reason, becomes the full measure of a life shaped by discipline and defined by purpose.